This morning's text from 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read. It's embedded within the sermon. So let us seek God's presence and guidance. Let us pray. Holy One, send forth your Spirit now and breathe into us something of your love and your strength and your power and your presence and your peace and your challenge to us. Take these words and transform them into your word, these truths into your truth. Allow us to truly hear within our gut what it is you would have us know. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Whenever Jesus gathered his people, whenever followers of Jesus gather around this table, we tell a story. We remember when he gathered with his friends in Jerusalem for a holy meal around a table. I imagine the room that night was full of so much joy and love and energy and excitement. You could see that love and that joy in his eyes and the eyes of those with him. You could almost taste it, that love and that joy, the presence of the Lord. Presence at the same time haunted by a premonition of absence, of loss, of pain, of separation. You could see it. You could almost sense that something was about to happen. You could almost taste that too. You could almost taste it, the taste of fear and worry, the taste of anxiety. You could almost taste death. Those present there that night would never forget it. It was never far from their thoughts. They thought about it all the time. They dreamt about it. They relived that night. They replayed the scenes of that night over and over and over again so that they would never, ever forget, so that it would become part of them, so that that night and that story would shape them and define them, would live within them and then flow from them. They told the story. They remembered that night and they passed it on. One by one, they passed it on. From the disciples, it made its way to Paul, passed down, handed down, handed over to him. The story was so alive and so fresh to him, you would have guessed by the way that Paul tells it that he was in the room where it happened, that it was the Lord himself who spoke to him, which he then handed over to the church in Corinth. "For I received," he said, "from the Lord, what I handed unto you." That the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, the night that he was handed over, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come." The table helps us remember the story. The table helps us tell the story. The table helps us live the story. The table is preaching the story. The table is the story, the core story, the kerygma, the definitive story, the story that's still being told because it's still being lived whenever people gather at his table and remember. The table reminds us to practice what we preach. Embody the message. Enact the story. Let it come alive. Remember. Do this. 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 Right here, this. In remembrance. Anamnesis in Greek. Jesus wants us to remember. Remember what the bread and cup symbolize. Remember that God will be found kneaded in the bread of human brokenness. That God is found in a broken body. A body tortured and disfigured by hate and evil and all that resists the power and presence of redemptive love and compassion to flow in our hearts. God will be found poured out in the flow of tears and sweat and blood. We have to remember his death at this table. And we can't afford to forget his death at this table. For we are about anamnesis, not amnesia. Anamnesis is required of us, not amnesia. One of my New Testament professors at Princeton, Christian Becker, I don't know if he was still there when Brian was there, beloved soul. One day in class, he was going off on a riff on something. I have no idea what he was talking about. I don't remember what he was talking about, but this is what I do remember him saying. He said that sin is forgetfulness. When you think about it, that's what sin is. Sin is forgetfulness. Whenever we forget who we are, every time we forget whose we are, we fall. Every single time we fall. When we forget who we are and whose we are, and we sin again and again and again and again, which means that we are saved through remembrance. Remember the story of suffering love. Remember the time when the love and the glory of God was on display for all the world to see in his broken body on a Roman cross. And sure, this is the story of death and of betrayal, of human sin, rejecting God, rejecting another human being, but it's also at the same time the story of God's determination to not let human sin have the final word, the last word. It's the story of a new covenant, a new relationship established between God and God's people, rooted in the promise of resurrection, of life that emerges from dead places, of hope that emerges for people who have given up on hope, who are tired of hoping, given up on God, given up on humanity, given up on themselves. This table tells the tale of Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Christ of the cross. And we proclaim his death until he comes. Absence and yet presence. Present with him as we remember, drawn to him and to one another, bearing witness to God's presence in the places of absence, in the places of brokenness, in the places of grief and suffering and pain. Yes, this is the table that tells the story of a crucified Lord. But we can turn things around a little bit too. We could say that at the center of the Christian story, we find a table. Just consider that. That at the center of the Christian story is a table. Go down into the catacombs outside of Rome. The oldest frescoes painted on the walls and the ceilings there do not depict Jesus on a cross. You won't find any image of the crucifixion in the catacombs. What you will find is Jesus at a table with his friends. The earliest symbol of the crucified Lord is not a cross, but his table around which his people continue to tell the story of suffering love, who lived the story of suffering love. And when we remember around this table, we can't help but be shaped by this story, and this story really needs to be told. This story really needs to be told and lived today by you and me together. We need to remember who we are as ones who bear the sign of the cross in our lives. We need to remember whose we are, for much is being required of the body of Christ in the living of these days. Much is required of the broken body of Christ in the living of these days. We cannot afford to forget who we are. Anamnesis, not amnesia. In the streets of Baltimore, and Catonsville, and Columbia, and beyond, wherever God's people are suffering and crying out, the church needs to be there. Hundreds of Presbyterians walked the streets of Baltimore this week in an act of anamnesis, of remembrance. We walked through the city. 200 Presbyterians gathered and walked to remember the victims of gun violence in the ceasefire weekend. And we stopped and we remembered those names. We said those names. We invoked those names. We remembered what took place on those corners. And we cried out. We yelled out to God for peace and healing and reform and justice. And then yesterday, El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. Something evil has been and is being released among us. And we need to see it, and we need to say it, and we need to do something about it. Followers of Jesus cannot be guilty of amnesia. We need to remember. The pastoral staff of the National Cathedral in Washington released a bold statement this week, a word of warning, a prophetic warning to religious leaders, indeed to the church as a whole. The National Cathedral is a pretty staid, proper place. The pastoral staff of the National Cathedral doesn't usually make strong pronouncements, but they did this past week, and you can go online and find it yourself. But what they said to the religious leaders of the nation and to the church are these words: as leaders of faith who believe in the sacredness of every single human being, the time for silence is over. We must boldly stand witness against the bigotry, hatred, intolerance, xenophobia that is hurled at us, especially when it comes from the highest offices of this nation. We must say that this will not be tolerated. To stay silent in the face of such rhetoric is for us to tacitly condone the violence of these words. We are compelled to take every opportunity to oppose the indecency and dehumanization that is racism, whether it comes to us through words or actions. We can't gather at this table and do this in remembrance of him and then leave here and forget the story of the crucified Lord. Well, actually, we can, because we're really good at doing that, if we're honest. And the church is really, really good at doing it, forgetting what this means. But I don't want to forget. And I know you don't want to forget. But we do forget. Because being faithful to a crucified Lord isn't easy. But the good news, friends, is that we don't have to remember by ourselves. We are here to remind one another who we are and whose we are. We need help remembering because we all have terrible memories. That's why we need this table. And to hear this story again and again and again. It's why the Lord has given us this table to help us remember him and the difficult yet joyful work he is calling us toward, to take up a cross. In other words, do the difficult task of serving him with our lives. Taste and see. Taste. See. The crucified Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.